The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here to analyze this. I want to talk. The engineer was telling me something. When we were talking about that turmeric, what you were telling me? The alica saffron. It's not a dung anything. That's American saffron. Okay. I gonna look that up. But check this out, right? I went on the. I come into that now. Because I'm on a website. He just told me I need to make a good turmeric ginger tea. And I was looking here on the bbcgoodfood.com website, and they got a whole heap of turmeric recipes, right? They got scrambled eggs. They got potato and turmeric. I don't want to butcher this word. F-O-C-A-C-C-I-A, right? I don't know if it's focaccia, whatever it is, with a topping of tomato, right? They got turmeric pancakes, Indian lamb chops. They put the turmeric, the spices on that. Beef dripping, keema naan, aborigine curry with lamb cutlets. They got turmeric pilau, right? They got a turmeric pilau. Yeah, that's what they're saying, turmeric pilau with golden onions, the beef rendang. And then, just to show you how everything, right? They got turmeric smoothie bowl. We were talking about smoothies earlier. Wow. All right, so turmeric, right? And you got the chicken biryani and turmeric, ginger, and coconut fish curry. You know what I'm saying? So, yo, your boy's learning. You know what I'm saying? I'm into the learning thing. You know what I mean? So, I'm going to start getting a little creative and all that stuff. And they got different ratings and all that stuff here, right? It's a good website, www.bbcgoodfood.com. And, you know, BBC, you know, British, you know, broadcasting. No joke. Remember when the great Alvin G from back in the day, right? When his 1.5 daily news show from 4:30 to 6, that last half hour, BBC Caribbean. And I used to get educated there as well. Listening to a lot of the leaders in the Caribbean, when they'd be taped and we'd hear clips and all that stuff. And I never forget a man fancy Vincent. He was talking one day and he used this the two words in this context, and he was complaining, right, about a trend that was taking place down in St. Vincent. I don't say Vincent or the Caribbean, whatever. He said, you know, we need to be careful about institutionalizing mediocrity. And never forget, right, hearing it like that. I said, wow. And it only just speaks to the brilliance of Caribbean people and how, you know, intelligent we are and our capacity. You know what I'm saying? So when I hear in Ireland, big, what institution, nah. Lies in them seven syllables, mediocrity. And we should never do that, right? No, ever institutionalize mediocrity, okay, if you know what I mean, right? So we good. Let me get some programming notes, because Calvert White should be joining us in a little bit. Hold on there, I got to send an update there to the man to let you know what's going on, because we got a lot to talk about. You know, you got basketball playoffs going on as well, right? So I got to send you that text message to let you know what going on. And then hold on there, bam bam bam, let you know, bam bam, call this number, right? And we good to know. Okay, good. Anytime now and we good. Okay, good. So you get out there. Programming notes for tonight, Thursday, 4/25/2024, PBS News Hour at 7, Recovery in Focus morning. ODR Director Adrian Williams-Octolin. From 8 to 9, great performances at the Met, right? From 9 to 11, right? Followed John Lithgow going back to school to demonstrate the transformative power of arts education, right? So that's from 9 to 11 at my parent company from 11 to midnight. Okay, so the news hour at 7, Recovery in Focus at 8. Great performances at the Met from 9 to 11. And then I'm Emporium Company at 12. Now, before Calvert comes on, I want to go back to the conversation I had with the governor yesterday. Right? And there are those who believe that when I got a governor on, that I'm supposed to just be peppering him and bombarding him and, you know, just going after him. Right? And I could do that. You know what I'm saying? I could do that. Right? But I keep telling people, first of all, this is an NPR station. We ain't in competition with nobody. And the premise for NPR, in particular with the daily shows, right, is about education and information, not necessarily confrontation. No, I like a good confrontation, right? So I just want to put it to know. So there were those who believe, I think one person said that I sound like I'm a fan of the governor when he came on yesterday, right? And you know what? You may be true. You may be correct. I don't think so. I just think I respect the brother. I will admit that I have a soft spot for the governor because we both graduated from the same high school. You know what I'm saying? Even though he's from St. Thomas, he did move to St. Croix the year that I graduated in 82. He moved over here and he graduated in 1985 from St. Dunstan's, the now defunct St. Dunstan's Episcopal School, made famous by the one and only Tim Duncan, great NBA player. But also, don't be afraid to say that I corrected the governor yesterday in a couple of instances, right? For example, when he cited, right, where the rainy day fund exists in the Virgin Islands Code, and he said Title 23, Section 1105. It was me who fact-checked him right here where I'm sitting now, and told him, in my fact checking him, I had to correct him and let him know it is actually Section 1005. In other words, if I was this big fan of the governor, I wouldn't have said nothing. I just accept the fact that he says Section 1105. But I fact check the chief executive right here in real time, live and direct. And if you know what the definition of live and direct mean, right, go and listen to the Chalice Live album, because they will tell you that live and direct means live and direct. I did it right here, right? The governor made a mistake when he claimed that they created the rainy day fund. I said, governor, you mean funded? And he said, yes, funded, correct. So I did that, right? I have one flaw as a talk show host. And everybody tells me this, from the uppers to those who listening, that I like to interrupt people sometimes when I'm talking. You know, I like to interrupt them because I like to correct them on the spot if I know that what they said may not be accurate. That's all it is. I ain't really trying to undermine them either, but I have an obligation, right, to make sure that when you listen to this show and we say something is entitled this, or a city is in this state or whatever, right, that it is as factually correct as possible. I ain't trying to embarrass nobody. You know what I'm saying? That's not just me. But I'm a historian. And I like data. And I like the facts. I'm a trivia nerdy type guy. It is what it is. Right? Yesterday, on numerous occasions, when the Gov were referencing senators by name and not including the title, it was me when he said Kenny and Donna and Maurice. I had to let him know, Senator Donna Fred Gregory, Senator Kenny Gittin, Senator Maurice James. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to take some shots at your boy, you know I love you to death, right? Don't be afraid to say, well, he did do this and all that stuff. That's something I just wanted to let you know. I ain't got no problem with you taking the shots and being critical. But also, let the record reflect that not even the governor, right, is above being corrected right here. Another thing, right, that really was kind of sentimental for me was during the show, I got a text message from the governor's chief of staff as it relates to the rainy day stabilization fund. And he reminded me, because the governor's chief of staff, Carl Knight, When I, you know, first went into the first branch of government as a member of the 26th legislature, he was a big time researcher and advisor for then freshman senator like myself, Terrence Positive Nelson, who is now Positive T.A. Nelson. And he was the one, we were the ones, right, that voted for, but it was his office that actually created the rainy day, right, the stabilization fund. So that's an asset that the governor has on his side, because the current chief of staff is acutely, right, aware and knowledgeable about the creation of the fund, which took place, I believe, in 2006. If it wasn't 2006, it was late 2005. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't saying that's an advantage the governor got, but he has institutional knowledge in office, right, in that regard, right? Now, with respect to the governor, you know, making a statement that he got to hold a reading class for the senators, right? I will say this now. Right, and I'm glad somebody sent me the clip. And the first thing I say is, "Oh God!" Right, because there's no need for the governor to go there. Right, in retrospect, as we say in colloquial jargon, the governor was forward out of place to make a statement like that, and he's running the risk now, right, of when they send things down, when the governor sends down documentation, bills, and all that stuff. He goes along the budget next month. If I was an opponent of the governor, right, I would have had a field day with the governor. I tell the governor, don't send me nothing. You say I can't read. And of course, that's the politics, right, that goes in. Now, I don't think the governor knows they could read. He was just taking a shot because they have a difference of opinion. They got the issues right now. But in all honesty, he really fouled and out of place, right? To say that about the members of the first branch of government. And also let the record reflect, before I go to Calvert White, that the very first thing I said on this show is that I will always defend the first branch of government. That's a bias, an inherent, an innate, intravenous bias with me. Why? Because I've been there. And some people love the executive branch. Some people love the judicial branch. I'm a big supporter. I love the legislative branch of government. I like the making laws aspect, right? So you could rule me out for running for governor, lieutenant governor. That's what I'm telling you now. Since I wanted to leave the church people's name and thing, I'm out. Okay? It's not happening. I just want to make that clear. Now, let me bring in Commissioner of Sports Park and Recreation and co-host for OL2. Up at Cramer's Park back on, I think that was the 28th of March, the one and only Calvert White, Commissioner of Sports Park and Recreation, son of one of the other. Good morning, Commissioner Calvert White. Welcome to Analyze This. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me here. I've had better days, but, you know, I woke up this morning, so I'm good.
That's right, man. You got a shot. Once you get up, you're good to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How's the weather over there? Because I'm seeing some rain in between the islands. It rain over there, it's dry like chip.
Thankfully, it's sunny today. It's bright. I'm hoping that it stays that way, because I need good weather for the next 7 days to pull this thing off.
More than that. More than that. Actually eight. You know what I'm saying? So we need that to happen. The return of horse races in Carnival, is going to happen on Friday, May the 3rd?
Yeah, man. I unless we have a catastrophic activity or event, I don't see anything stopping us from having this event. I'll be quite honest with you, the last month and a half has been a lot of sleepless nights and stress. You know, when you're doing events like this, they plan for the worst and hope for the best. And you know, I haven't had the worst, but we've had a lot of setbacks. The rain being one of those. You know, it rained for the last 2 days. Couple days ago, which, you know, when it's raining, no work can really be done. But you know, I didn't have 2 days to spare. But again, you know, the guys are on the site, they're working extra hours to make sure that we could put forward a great showing for racing in the last 7 years.
Now, this is not the first time that Department of Horse Park and Sports Parks and Recreation has stepped in as a de facto promoter played a promotional role. It used to go on back in the day. This is predating you, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I I've been in this department 17 years. So I was part of when this.
Okay, that's good.
Under the leadership of Assistant Commissioner Papi Smith at the time.
Yeah.
The department did run races. The facility is under the Department of Sports, Parks and Recreation, Clinton Phipps.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, we did have staff located and assigned specifically at the horse track. They was removed, relocated after the twin storm VIGL had took over. So, resources was limited for me to start with. But, I've had a lot of people have teamed up and helping me, government, public, you name it. Just individuals who really want to see this happen have stepped up and is helping to make sure. One example, last week Wednesday, the elevator for the elevator shaft going upstairs missed the boat by 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Wow.
And, I had to place a call to Executive Director Dow. I placed a call to the CBP, Customs, and, they were able to help with some of the clearing and then moving it from one boat to the other boat. Just doing some things like that. The elevator did get on island this morning. I've been at the Sandfield from 6 this morning waiting to get that trailer off. It is off and out at the Clinton E. Phipps racetrack right now. So there's a crew who specifically flew in from Canada specifically just to install that elevator. So they're going to be working overtime trying to get it in up and running for May 3rd.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Now, the new grandstand could accommodate how many people?
25 butts in seats. But, if you get closer, it could be way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But comfortably, 2,500.
Okay. That's good. Now, you got people working on the surface and all that stuff, getting the track nice?
Yeah, man. The surf is looking really, really good. We have one of the best in the game. He's worked for the Department of Sports, Parks and Recreation. He's no longer with us, but, he wanted to help out on his own time.
Rasul, over there still?
Huh?
Rasul, over there still? Tony Pete?
Rasul is here. Rasul retired a month ago. He was the superintendent under the Department of Sports, Parks and Recreation running the horse track.
Mm-hmm.
He just retired in February, but he's been out there several times. He comes to me and he said, Commissioner, anything you need, just give me a call and I'm going to assist you. But the surface is looking good. The horses seem to like it. The trainers seem to like it. I haven't heard any complaints. We've been doing a lot of work on the starting gate. We got it repainted.
Your gate accommodates how many, 6 or 8?
Six.
Okay. You got starting gate for six.
Six gate.
Okay.
We just replaced the springs and some of the calipers. New signing up there.
Wait. We're getting that break. You got gallons of WD-40 over there now, man.
No gallons. We brought in some electricians and some welders. We replaced a lot of the old components.
You're going top of the line to make this thing good, man. I like that. We're gonna take a break so you can marinate and then we can have some fun. But I'm just teasing. It's all good. We got Commissioner Calvert White. They got a big event coming up over at the Clinton Phipps Racetrack. Friday, May the 3rd, Carnival Races is back. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With 2 locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist, I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Get informed with Analyze This as former Senator Neville James features Virgin Islands newsmakers from around the territory and beyond. Neville dives deep into politics, art, culture, history, and sports. Analyze This, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WTJX 93.1.
And we're back here to analyze this. My co-host from OL2, Calvert White, Commissioner of Sports, Park and Recreation, is on the line doing some major promotional work. Coming up next week, we got horse races over there in Iraq. Yo, Calvert, good morning once again.
Good morning, my brother.
Yo, check this out. It just dawned on me, right? I was yanking, right? And I pronounced it the Clinton Phipps racetrack, right? Now, you know that we just said Clinton Phipps, right? But when I was yanking, I said Clinton, right? So don't hold it against me, right? You know what I'm saying? It's all good. The surface, the circumference of the oval and St. Thomas is just under 5 furlongs, right? Have you ever done an official measurement?
I think you're accurate. You're accurate. We actually went out there with a roller yesterday, a measurement, and I think you are correct. It's just under 5 furlongs.
Just under 5 furlongs, right? So the Governor's Cup, the governor stated at the State of the Territory, we will have a Governor's Cup, and I will be giving out that trophy. So the governor talked this thing into existence, man. This thing's going to happen next week, right?
He's why cussing every night. He's why I have all these sleepless nights, because he set down the mandate, and you know, that's the boss. And the boss says, "Listen, Commissioner, make it happen." Uh-huh. And we're going to make it happen. He will be giving out the Governor's Cup. I'm confident of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's going to be an exciting day. We have, you know, I think there's only two races where there's 5 horses in the gate, but the rest of them have a full 6.
The gate full. So I think we got a 7 race card. That's what we're talking about.
7 race. We started off with 6, and because of the amount of horses that we had, we found it necessary to put in a 7th race to include the first race of the day, which is going to be an all-native horse race.
That's what I'm talking about. What time does the card start?
1:30. We wanted to push it back originally. It was 1. We wanted to push it back to give people a chance to, you know, go and support the children's parade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I firmly believe in that. You know, the governor is going to be there. The Senate president is going to be at the parade. Just give them time to go there and support all the troops, and still give them ample time to get out to the track.
That's what I'm talking about. So, you're going to be an ambassador for Carnival now for a couple of minutes. So this is Food Fair, like I had to pronounce it, right?
Mm.
Wednesday, Juvie, Thursday, Children's Parade and Horse Race, like I had to pronounce it. We don't say Haas and St. Craig, but Horse Race and St. Thomas, Friday afternoon. And then, of course, the big parade on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Village.
Yeah.
Village for Monday night. Village open Monday night or Sunday night? You know?
I think Village open Monday.
Monday.
Yeah. Village open Monday. A lot of action, a lot of different things to do,
mm-hmm.
to include the private events, the different promoters, them having... you know, so there's something for everybody, man. I just glad that after 7 years and the build up to this air is so
mm-hmm.
you know, I could feel the chills. I took Rashidi Clements out there, who is our official race announcer,
mm-hmm.
and he was out there practicing the race, and he said he got goosebumps just calling out some of the horses' name.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
announcing that they're coming down the backstretch.
For the purposes of this discussion, right? I'm gonna make a disclaimer now. I'm leaving the politics out of this discussion this morning. Is that okay with you, sir?
I appreciate it.
There's plenty of time for us to get into that at a later date. Yeah. But I'm not gonna get into that this morning because it's happening in 8 days, and we want what would be what could be and should be, and what we want is an event-free, awesome afternoon over there at the Clinton Phipps Lewis track out in Bavon.
Awesome being the key word. You know, when I first took this on, you know, a lot of people were just saying, you know, we don't really care about all the extra stuff. We just want to see horse racing. Mm-hmm. And I tend to agree, but, you know, after being down so long, Neville, I didn't just want to throw an event out there where people just come and watch racing. Mm-hmm. I wanted the crowd to be interactive. I want them to come. To be honest with you, I want to wow the crowd. So we have some things that we're doing that has never been done before that I'm going to hope that when people leave that facility, they're going to be and say, you know, this was different. This wasn't what we expected. You know, one of the things that we're trying to do, and I think it's on island now, is we are putting a big jumbo screen LED in the infield.
Oh yeah,
never been done before. Uh-huh. Never been done before, where you can actually watch the races on the big screen. We could have instant replays, do interviews with the crowd. I wanted to give it that feel that, you know, I've been to several tracks in the mainland in the States. I went to Saratoga with the governor. Mm-hmm. Went to Fort Lauderdale and watched them, and you always see the big screen and the infield, where not just marketing and promotion we can do, but you can do some interaction with the field. So that's one new thing that we're doing. We did a lot of our tickets online this year, kind of do this QR code, so that when people come, they don't really have to stand up in those long lines. Just show your QR code, get in, trying to make it easier, visitor-friendly for the people that's going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just some other queue. We have a VIP section this year. It's never been done that before. When I went to Saratoga, you could either sit and stand up in front, or you had the booths upstairs where, you know, you could get food and drink and all of that stuff. So, you know, just trying to change it, man. Make people feel like, you know, this is the sport of kings, and appreciate horse racing coming back to the territory after 7 years being absent.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, right, we can't ignore the fact that horse racing is a highly regulated sport, right? VI code is what runs how races are conducted in the Virgin Islands. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. The St. Thomas Racing Commission, they have approved the card, or is that in the process? Normally that could happen anytime within 3, 4, 5 days of the card. Where are we with respect to that Racing Commission rule?
I saw a proposed racing card yesterday. I saw another one today. I expect the commission to approve this there no later than Monday. But I think for all intended purposes, the racing secretary has been working, trying to class these horses, get them in the right class. Because there's so many races and so many horses, it took a while. But I expect them to put their stamp of approval on this no later than Monday so that it can be official. Just touching on what you said, you are right that horse racing is a regulated sport. For those that don't know, the anti-doping was suspended with the, was that, the 34th legislature?
Yeah.
What are we in now, the 35th?
Yeah, 35th, yeah. So that happened the last 34th legislature.
34th legislature, I think, put a halt to it. But in addition to that, we wanted to make sure that we was doing what we needed to do. So again, for the first time, and if it's been done before, correct me, but the St. Thomas St. John Racing Commission felt the need to get training for all the individuals that hold positions on that track. So we brought in a guy that's named Eddie Arroyo. He is the chairman of the Racing Officials Accreditation Program. And he came to St. Thomas last weekend and he certified the racing officials, the steward, patrol judges, paddock judges, the outrider, the gate handlers, the starter, timer, the clerk of scales, the racing secretary. We had over 30 officials or 30 people out there to this training. They were certified, and they are now nationally certified in those positions. I don't think that's ever been done before.
No, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So, and you are responsible for compensating all of these officials?
Oh, man, why you put on your head? You know they going to have these people calling, laughing for money, and when they going to get paid and all of that.
But that's just how it is. It comes with the gig, man.
Don't say me. The Horse Racing Commission.
The Horse Racing Commission.
I am a member
of.
Is responsible for that. By virtue of my position, I am the ex officio, but mm-hmm. there is a chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
But they are responsible for that. On that note, I want to make...
That's only because... you're serving in a de facto promoter role as well. You know, so there's a dual role that I got this in this particular instance because we don't have a documented promoter right now for a reason.
Well, there's a dual role that I have because the Horse Racing Commission did stamp me as the temporary promoter. And when I say me, I mean the Department of Sports, Parks and Recreation
mm-hmm.
as the temporary promoter for this race. So I'm serving as the temporary promoter as well as a member of the Horse Racing Commission. But I want people to really understand that the same enthusiasm and same energy that I have now, and again, by virtue of my position, I also serve as the ex officio on the St. Croix Racing Commission. And I also am looking forward to sitting down with VIGL so that we can get horse racing going again mm-hmm. on St. Croix. Mm-hmm. So it's not just going to be on St. Thomas, St. John. But I look forward to seeing and pushing VIGL to where we can have racing on the Big Island also.
It's my understanding, based on what I've seen on the draft card, that we got horses coming from Tortola, or at least one horse?
Yeah, them Tortola none tell me, say, wait, go ahead and pour one name on the trophy from now, save you some time.
Oh, yeah?
That's the top. Yeah, they're going on bad.
Oh, they're confident, they're getting cocky? Okay.
They're going on bad.
Yeah.
They're going on bad.
Mm-hmm. But I know one thing, right? You go run the house them on the track or no? You don't win them race on paper.
You have to play the game, and this is why we play the game, because it looks good on paper, but a lot of things are happening when you actually get on that surface.
I see a one seed last night in the NBA playoffs play against the 8 seed without two of their best players and they get a head knock off, you know. So tell them be careful with that kind of talk. Things will happen.
Let me tell you even better. About 3 weeks ago, I took a team of 8 players. About 7 of them was from St. Croix, 1 from St. Thomas to Tortola to play in the tournament of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
The semifinals, Tortola beat us by 21 points. We ended up meeting them again in a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up turning it back at them and beating them by 21 points.
Hold on a second. You play them in the wrong robin or the semifinal round? How the whole thing work? Explain that
in
one.
In the wrong robin. You're right. The wrong robin. Because we played them the first time in the wrong robin.
Yeah.
And they beat us. But we had to win 2 games to get back to the championship game, which we did.
Yeah.
Ended up meeting them again in the championship game and ended up beating them by 21. So you have to play the game.
Yeah, you got to let the game play. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad to hear that we were successful. What was it? The tournament was in Tortola?
Was in Tortola, correct.
Okay, good. I know we talking our house recently, but anytime we could diverge and go into other sports, because you know how it is. It's all about...
At some point
we're going to talk about the NBA before the conversation done. I just want you to know that. Now, there is one question that I have. I'm obligated to ask this question. We are going into carnival races cold turkey. There was not a prep race. Was the plan to have a prep race in advance of carnival, or was the plan always about going into carnival as a return back?
We talked about doing a temporary race prior to carnival. Mm-hmm. It did not happen. Mm-hmm. We did not feel that the grounds at the time were safe. Talked about how we could make that happen with people just standing up watching the race. And then we X'd that out. I think it being carnival time, this is the perfect time to have the first race. A lot of these horses, if you look at the card, have debuted on it. This is the first time that we're seeing them in the territory.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a lot of names that we've never heard before, a lot of horses that we're not seeing before. So I think it's fitting that after 6 years, you know, carnival race is one of the biggest races of the year. So I think it was fitting that this was the time that we had the first race after 6 years, 7 years.
This is like NASCAR then. We're the biggest race of the year. The schedule, the Daytona 500 is the first race of the season. That's how I'm doing this thing then.
Start it off with a bang. I could tell you this. And I only plan to do this here for the first race, possibly the second race. I'll be the temporary promoter. But the plan is to set the standard of what horse racing should be like out there on the Clinton E5th racetrack. I mean, the team that I'm working with, and it's so many individuals, I'll be here all day trying to talk, but we brought in an event coordinator very, very early on because I know this was a task that I couldn't take on by myself. Mm-hmm. And those individuals, and they like to be in the background, I don't know if I should call the name, but their team is what's coordinating the security and the logistics and all the people that we need to work there. I want, you know, customer service is a big, big theme with us. And we want to make sure that when people leave there, that they're like, shit, we didn't really expect that. You know, it's funny, I was sitting down in a restaurant.
You had a slip up there. We're at NPR station, sir.
You got bleeped out. Forgive me.
It happens.
I know the crew at WTJX is really, really good at what they do, so they catch it.
Be careful, my brother.
I've seen them in action.
Be careful, my brother. You had a slip up there.
Excitement, right? You heard excitement in my voice. But I was sitting down having some dinner the other night, and I'm listening to some people in the restaurant talking, and they have no idea that I'm the temporary promoter, and they're like, man, we drove by the track, and I don't think they're going to be ready. I don't think they're gonna have races. And I'm just listening to them because I'm sitting next to them just listening, and I'm smiling. And my anxiety level is up because, you know, I need to make this timeline also, but it feels warm that people are talking about it. They're anticipating actually going there. You know, we've been doing some stuff on Facebook trying to hype it up. We have a hat contest this year. We want them coming out in their derby hats. But, you know, the excitement is building. And as I stated, you know, whoever the next promoter is, I don't know who that's going to be. We probably put out an RFP within the next couple of months. I want them to say, man, you know, White make this thing hard for us. We're going to have to duplicate White as he done. And that is a goal.
Well, you know, you want the best product, though. You know what I'm saying? And that should be the goal. A majority of the horses are imports that have ran and competed on the mainland and were imported to race in the territory?
Say that again?
A majority of the horses that are going to be running on the card next week, Friday, they have been in competition on the mainland, right? And they were purchased
lot of them was purchased either in Puerto Rico or the mainland.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Correct. I know a couple of them did come from the mainland. That big horse that Tatola is bringing in, it is from the mainland. I think that horse is named Ghost in You. That's coming in from the mainland. But you know, there's a horse that's been here on the track, waiting to see some racing, which is Tullian. You know, local owner, so it's gonna be good.
That's what I'm talking about. And you said the first race of the day, native horses.
When we had the conversation about doing the horse races, we talked about how we could involve St. Croix. You know, I want people to know I'm the commissioner of the territory. I'm not just the commissioner of St. Thomas. So you know, in speaking to Bobby of Southland Gaming and whatnot, I said, man, we need to figure out how we can involve St. Croix in these races. And automatically, he was like, yes, we have to. I'm for it. We talked about bringing in the native horses because we know that St. Croix have a lot of natives, and they was, you know, running those horses and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 5 native horses, all of them debuting for the first time.
Yeah,
actually
in competition, right, for the first time, right?
So yeah.
Let me take a break, and I know, come back, pick it up there, and then we'll talk a little bit of NBA basketball at the end of the conversation. Be back right after this with Calvert White.
PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only 4 people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, Wait, We Give You a Chance to Impress Your Friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists? You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here, Analyze This, and we're talking with Commissioner Calvert White for the Department of Sports, Parks, and Recreation. 8 days from today, May 3rd, we have the return of live horse racing at the Clinton Phipps Racetrack to include the Governor's Cup, which has been historically a staple within the staple where the Governor presents the trophy to the winners of the race named in honor of his office. What's the purse for the Governor's Cup this year, Commissioner White?
40 stacks.
40 grand?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And typically, we pay in the top three or we pay in the top four?
Top three.
Top three. So 60% of that, right? 60, 25, and 15, yeah. Something like that?
There you go.
And so the winner, 24 grand. Wow. That's awesome. That I believe that will be the richest race ever conducted in the Virgin Islands, right?
Yeah, so I think the total purse right now is up to $130,000.
For the entire card?
Not mistaken, for the entire card.
Yeah.
$130,000. Okay. So the native race, which we were talking about before we went to break,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm big on culture. I know where we came from, where mm-hmm. we come from. Big on culture. We ended up naming that the Prince Crystal. Prince Crystal Trophy. Do you know the history of Prince Crystal?
Okay, Prince Crystal was a dominant native horse. I think he won the native Triple Crown back in the day.
The only Triple Crown.
Yeah, yeah, back in the
only
day.
Only Triple Crown.
Yeah, so I think Raffy Brathwaite, Maldow. Raffy Brathwaite, Maldow was his trainer.
Maldow, there yeah. You go. You know your history, man.
Yeah, I'm a history major, man. I can't help it. I'm a nerd. Yeah. I'm a nerd, man. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Only Triple Crown native horse winner, the Prince Crystal Trophy. Yeah. That race is our name after that horse.
Let the record reflect, though, that in the pantheon of great native horses, he isn't even in top. Mm. He isn't even in top 10, my brother. He's a nice horse, but he in the top 10. Papi, you know,
Not in the top 10.
That's to speak to the greatness of horses on St. Croix and how hard it is to win the native Triple Crown. You know what I'm saying? But so and you know about that. Sometimes you need to be healthy and all that stuff, all those variables.
Correct.
You know, you mentioned Papi, right? Warren Smith, that's his name, right? That's his name?
Stanley Smith, right?
Mm-hmm. We also had a papi, the late, great Leroy Gatliff. He's a Cali papito, right?
Yeah.
He had a mare by the name of Woman's Lib back in it long before you born. Let me say, hold on there. You were 18 in 93 or thereabouts, so you were about two or 3 years old. You born in 74, 75, somewhere around there, right? Or 76?
75,
right? Well, in 1977... I think that's 77 or 78. I think it's 77. Leroy Gatliff had this meh, like I don't say St. Thomas, this meh. named Woman's Lib. And, and let me tell you something about Woman's Lib. She had a gate problem, right? And when the gate opened, she used to spot the field. 2, 3, 4 lengths. Going a mile and an eighth. And she run them down and pass them and I win the race.
It's so interesting you say that. I was watching a race yesterday, and a matter of fact, I posted it on my Facebook, where Expectation, Primerica, and who the third horse was.
What that was?
Winner's Share, for
Wakadu. Yeah.
And the break of that race, Primerica missed the break, and they had at least 2-3 lengths on him before Primerica got out the gate. And that was a horse race, my son. I watched that over and over yesterday.
That was Tony Pete, them horse.
That was a race. The track was full with people that day.
Yeah.
So when you talk about spotting a horse, couple lengths.
That don't mean the race done. And that's what you said. You got to play the game, right? You got to play the game. And I remember this filly, man, Woman's Lib. She had a great jockey from St. Thomas named Antonio Teeks Hansby. And she was beautiful. Which brings me to a point that I want to touch on, right? Tell the St. Tommy and them, right? Now, I like to brag St. Thomas. I got a man in St. Thomas named Sangwang. You know Sangwang, right? The plumber, right? The great plumber, right? Sangwang used to come St. Croix and say, St. Croix got land, but St. Thomas got money. Right? He used to tease me that all the time, right? He came over here one time with his son. He was playing the league baseball. He come 2+2 and rubbing that in our face. So I want Sangwang and Ali St. Thomas them to know that when it comes to horse racing, if you really are going to commit to the industry, you have to have a breeding dynamic, right? And St. Croix will always be the breeding capital of the Virgin Islands for one reason. That's Sangwang said, St. Croix got land. So I just want all them to know, I don't got a liquid over there and all that stuff, but if you're going to commit to horse racing long term, you must commit to the breeding. And when we delve into it more in terms of generating revenue and all that stuff, if you commit to breeding, that will take care of everything else. Because breeding horses saves you a lot of money. And it builds your economy because people now got to take care of them, and the breeding aspect is a valuable aspect.
Yeah, and then we want to tap into that. I know the governor have a training facility that he has in his crosshairs that he wants to build on the island of St. Croix, right there in that property behind of a chicken shack.
We've been
talking about it for quite some time now. Myself and former Assistant Commissioner drew up the plans and everything. So we really want to get that because the plan is to have the students come there and learn about the industry, whether it's, being a jockey, a farrier, there's so much different things in the industry, as you stated.
If it's one thing that industry require, because it is a sport of kings, like you said, right? And the horses have to be provided for. People take care of these horses better than take care of their own wife and children. The amount of love they show for them, you know what I'm saying? But that's an animal thing, people just love to make sure they get
it. The majority of my time has been spent on a horse track the last couple of weeks.
That's what I'm telling you. And we got attached to animals.
I know it's not an industry that I am going to get into. Because I don't have that kind of time.
No, but you got your sports and you got your responsibilities, and it got to be across the gamut of athletics and competition and all that stuff. One of my listeners said, don't forget to mention computer and something special. We had a lot of great natives here. Windflow, Majestic Prince, a lot of great horses. Prince Crystal was nice. He was the best in his time. But when you look at the grand scheme, we had a horse here. Ed Milligan had owned a horse named Native Rhythm. He had set the track record here, 1 1/16 in 1:42. Them kind of time that will win graded races on the mainland. Now, time ain't everything. As a matter of fact, in horse racing, they say, time only matter when you're in jail. You're going to win the race, right? But we've had some well-bred horses here in the Virgin Islands, and if we could get this industry to come back to where it was, of course, Irma Maria really undermined a lot of things back in the day, but that is behind us. Now we're looking forward, and your agency is vested with making sure that the staple that is carnival races, and back on the Friday too. Remember one time they had moved the date and all that stuff
to the Thursday and all that craziness.
We
had some communications about that, and it was considered, and you know, at the end of the day, when the team got together, you know, we say, you know, a lot of people going to be partying, drinking after Juve. We don't want them to have to turn around to come back out on the track. They then party and drink some more. So
it was
more safety concern. We also know that VIPD would have been out, you know, trying to control the Juve, working long hours. So we wanted to give those guys a break because we depend on the security to help us.
The concern back then was the horse races taken away from the Turin Parade. But the reality is, And I bring this up every opportunity I get, you know, the historian that I am, the nerd that I am. We used to truncate everything for carnival between Thursday and Sunday, you know. It used to be food fair on Thursday, Juve, early Friday morning, Chiren Parade, Friday morning, early afternoon, and then Friday afternoon we got into the track, you know. We used to get three events on that Friday, you know. Early morning, Juve, Chiren Parade, and races. And then, of course, the Grand Parade on Saturday. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm glad you mentioned that because it is possible to support both events. I don't want people to think that because they're going to the horse race or horse track, they can't go to the carnival parade. I encourage you to go and support our children. I think I was told yesterday that their parade starts at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We move post back from 1 to now 1:30. The governor have to attend the children's parade, and then he's going to come out. So both can coexist. We don't want to take away from them, but we're hoping that after you support our children, you come out to see some exciting races.
That's what I'm talking about. So races return May 3rd, Clinton Phipps racetrack over there. The renaissance of horse racing happens on St. Thomas, May the 3rd.
Another cool thing we thought, you know, the facility is named after Clinton, I ain't gonna say Clinton, like you did, but it's named Clinton Phipps racetrack, and we wanted to honor the namesake of that facility. We do know that his sons are going to be on Ireland, so we want to give them a plaque, just showing our appreciation for what that great equestrian did.
Yeah, man.
So the second race of the day, which is a 7.5-furlong Class C&D race, is the Clinton Phipps Cup. In the honor of Mr. Clinton Phipps Sr.
That's why I'm talking about. Good thing. So, Kentucky Oaks Day is also Governor's Cup Day. May the 3rd, the first Friday in May 2024 over at the Clinton Phipps racetrack over there. Barney Clinton, Hendrington, Boogie, right? Matter of fact, he dealing with that video thing you're dealing with, cause he's a good video man or no?
Listen to me. Me and him been together the whole day yesterday.
I know that he was part of that day.
He's a technical man.
He's a technical man. So like I was saying, St. Thomas, I know you were part of that day.
Obviously, with races and so much money being played, we want to make sure we had some of the most important things, which is the photo finish camera.
Yeah, man.
So we just purchased a brand new one. I can't believe what that camera costs. I won't say it on air.
No, don't say it.
We want to make sure that we get it right in case there is a close race. He is going to set up that one there. The one that we're getting is remote. It's going to tell you the fractions, times, all of that. We want to do this thing right, man. I think starting back out, we want to get it there right. So we will have a photo finish camera for the races on May 3rd.
That's what you're talking about. So, right, check this out, right? got a question here. I want to make sure I ask this question here. Can he please comment on the work of the nonprofit organizations that volunteer and take care of the same horses that are abandoned after they are no longer making money and winning races or at least competing? The nonprofits play a part in that, sir?
So they have to play a part, and not just here, just all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, these horses aren't going to be able to compete and race anymore. So the question is, where do they go after? You know, about 3 years ago, I was approached by an organization who really didn't have a place to go and asked to utilize some of the empty stables where they could have dealt with the rescue horses, those horses that are deemed not able to run anymore. And they've been out there. They've done a lot of work in the stables. They was assisting with the removal of the manure. We just remove, well, not remove, replace them from the stables to now next door there at the abattoir. I think they're looking for something long term. But that conversation has to be a part of horse racing. We don't want owners just discarding the horses, putting them out in the wilderness to die after they finish, you know, competing and making money for them. So that is absolutely has to be part of the conversation. I did attend a conference in Puerto Rico late last year, and that was a main concern with the industry. What do we do with these horses after they can't run anymore?
Okay, good. So we're cognizant of that. Looking forward to races next week, Friday, in St. Thomas. Question, because, you know, game three tonight, Denver Nuggets are in Los Angeles. They're leading the series 2 games to none.
Over.
Let me ask this question. Number one, how good is Nikola Jokic? And number two, do the Lakers have a shot?
So I'll answer the lot of questions first. They do not have a shot. That series is over. I think he demonstrated for himself how good he is. He's a two-time MVP. He's in the runnings again this year to be the MVP. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's my MVP this year. I think the gentleman from Oklahoma is the MVP this year. But, you know, the fact that his name is being mentioned again, he just gets it done. He's not going to do it with any flair, any excitement. Kind of like a poor man's Tim Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually worse than when it comes to the attention and all of that. He don't want any of that at all. He just wants to. And it's funny we're talking about horses because he's big into horse racing.
He's big into harness racing. You know what I'm saying?
He likes
the trotters and he likes the pacers. You know what I'm saying?
So he doesn't work out. Yeah. He's not going to the gym and spending hours in the gym working on his craft. He just gets it done.
To me, he's a combination of Kevin McHale and Charles Barkley.
He got
crazy footwork. He knows how to. And I think people tend to underestimate how great a shooter he is. He could shoot the basketball, man. That dude got a nice touch. That dude is nice. You know what I'm saying? So you don't think the Lakers, all these Lakers fans in territory, you're letting them know for Ollie, don't expect a comeback?
Yeah. I just got text here. Let me ask first if I could announce it on the radio.
Announce what?
And see, let me ask the person first.
No, but we ran out of, I apologize, we ran out of time. We only got like 20 seconds left.
Let me announce it.
Yeah.
Let me announce it because the fact that he texted it is going to be public knowledge.
Yeah.
I just got a text from Bobo Bates.
Yeah.
That he wants to add $5,000 to the native race, making it now $15,000.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you very much, James Bobo Bates, for Bates Trucking. I appreciate you. And I was like, hey, look, we're going to get back on again sometime next week to preview the thing again.
Absolutely.
Okay? You got it. That's Commissioner Calvert White, also co-chair, co-promoter for races returning to the Virgin Islands in 2024. Be good. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.